The Bible reading for today comes from Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 to 11. Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherites and the Tushites and the Luamites. The sons of Midian were Ephath, Ephah, Hanok, Abidah, and Eldah. All these were descendants of Keturah. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar the Hittite, the field Abraham had bought from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who lived near Beer Lahai Roy. Please leave your Bibles open there, and we'll pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray now as we approach the words that we've just heard read. We pray that your Spirit would now guide us, Lord, as we reflect on the life of Abraham and the work of your Spirit in his life. We pray, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might be more and more like Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray these things in his name. Amen. Do you ever think about what's going to be said at your funeral? Do you ever wonder how people are going to remember you when you're gone? And if so, what would you like to be remembered for? What is the legacy that you would like to leave behind? I come from a family with a long legacy of working on and collecting cars. And one of the things that my father wanted to pass down to his sons was an old carriage so that they could continue that legacy. But even though that was a part of my family legacy, it pales in significance to the main legacy my father left behind. We live in a rural context, and many of us are from a farming background. Many of us have passed on farms already to the next generation or are planning to do so, while others are taking up new responsibilities. For those who have farmed all your lives, farming will be a part of the legacy that you pass on to the next generation. It'll be something that you're remembered for. But is it the most important legacy that you'll leave behind? I've been to a lot of different funerals in my time in this town, and I've officiated many of them. And I've heard lots of family members talking about their loved one and about the kind of things that they're into and the kind of person they were. And that's led me to the conclusion that I don't want to be remembered for anything that I've done or achieved or anything that I leave behind. But I do want to be remembered as someone who has invested in God's kingdom instead of my own. I do want to be remembered for passing on the hope that I have in Christ Jesus to the next generation, because that's the only legacy that will last. On the 10th of September, a very public voice for the gospel was silenced. I haven't mentioned it up until now because I wasn't sure how many in our congregation would even have heard of Charlie Kirk or know who he was and why he's so well known throughout America and around the world. But I've personally been watching his debates for quite a few years now. I didn't agree with all of his theology and I didn't agree with all of his politics, but there's no doubt in my mind that the way that he spoke to people, the way that he cared for people, and the way that he took every opportunity to share the hope he had was because of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life and the hope that he had in Jesus. Now, for those who aren't familiar with who Charlie Kirk was, he was very famous for going into universities all around America and debating on anything that the students want to talk about. He had an incredible mind, could recall all sorts of facts in an instant. But more important than any of that, he was able to debate people from very different backgrounds, people who were often angry and antagonistic, and he was able to do so with grace. And as he had those conversations, he would boldly share the gospel every opportunity that he had. And now, all around America and the UK, and even in Australia, there is a noticeable difference in church attendance. I read one statistic that said churches in America are actually experiencing 15% more attendance as people look up who Charlie Kirk was, and as they hear him proclaiming who Jesus was and who Jesus is, of course. Lots and lots of people who would never have darkened the door of a church are hearing about the life-saving message of the gospel as they look at his videos online and hear about what happened at his memorial service. And even though we don't have the same kind of opportunities as such a public figure as that, we will all be remembered for something. And so how do you want to be remembered when you're gone? What is the legacy that you would like to leave behind? During our time in the book of Genesis, we have seen that Abraham was a man of great faith in God's promise. But he was also just a man. A man who struggled with all of the normal temptations that we all do as humans. And so there were times that he acted out of fear instead of faith. But despite Abraham's failures, his life was overwhelmingly marked by the hope that he had in God's promise. And so today, as we look at this final season in Abraham's life, we're going to be reminded that a life anchored in God's promise leaves a legacy that continues beyond the grave. So let's look at verses 1 to 6, where we'll see that a life well lived leaves a legacy that is grounded in God's promise. Now, by the time we get to today's verses, we'll see that Sarah has passed away. She's been dead for around 3 years, and Isaac was now married to Rebekah. And so you would think that in his twilight years, Abraham might like to take life easy, to enjoy life and maybe help Isaac and Rebekah raise his grandchildren. But instead, Abraham married another wife named Keturah and had 6 more sons of his own. Now, it's possible that Keturah only gave birth to 6 sons, but given that they often didn't record the birth of daughters in those days, it's quite likely that they also had some daughters in there somewhere that aren't recorded in these verses. But each one of these 6 sons are mentioned because they would go on to become nations of their own. The most well-known, or probably infamous, was the Midianites, who would later become enemies of Isaac's descendants, the Israelites. Now, we aren't told why Abraham married again or why he chose to father more children. But as Abraham married Keturah and fathered 6 more sons, he may have been trying to play his part in God's promise. You see, God had promised all the way back in chapter 17 that he would make Abraham the father of many nations, not just the nation of Israel, but many other nations. Whatever his reasons were, Abraham now had 8 sons, including his eldest, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, and Isaac, the son of God's promise, which meant that he had some really difficult decisions to make. You see, Abraham was really, really wealthy. God had blessed him in every single way. And traditionally, the father would hand everything that he had on to his eldest son. But because of Abraham's faith in God's promise, the promise that God had made to turn Isaac's descendants into a great nation who would bless all the people of the earth, Abraham left everything he had to Isaac, his second-born son. And even though he wasn't obligated to by tradition or custom, Abraham also provided for his other sons by giving them gifts that no doubt provided for their practical needs. And then he did something strange. He sent them away to the land of the east. You can imagine how hard that would have been for a father who deeply cared about his sons. But what Abraham was doing was sending their sons away because he knew that God would fulfill his promise, that Isaac's descendants would inherit the land, the very land they were living in, the land of Canaan. On many occasions throughout Abraham's life, his actions showed what his faith was in and who he was trusting. And now, as his life was drawing to a close, Abraham continued to trust God's promise as he made preparations for Isaac's descendants to take the land. Abraham wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. He didn't always get it right. But Abraham's life was anchored in the faith that he had in God's promise. And so he had a full and well-lived life. And the legacy that he passed on was a legacy that will last forever. In verses 7 to 11, we see that finishing well leaves a legacy that points beyond the grave. When God first called Abraham to leave his homeland, his family, his whole support network, and go to a place that he had never, ever been before, he was 75 years old. Abraham left his old life behind because he trusted in God's promise. But trusting in God's promise wasn't easy. Abraham then waited 25 more years before the son of God's promise was born, only to have God tell him to sacrifice that son, while he always intended to provide the sacrifice himself. But Abraham continued to trust God's promise until the day that he died, which was 100 years after God called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and to the promised land. Abraham lived a long and full life and died full of years. And his years were full not just because he lived a long life, but because his faith in God's promise guided and shaped the way that he lived and the decisions that he made. He was still human. He made mistakes like all of us do. But despite his failures, his life was overwhelmingly marked by the faith that he had in God's promise. And so after Abraham's death, he was gathered to his ancestors. And that's a way of saying that he was reunited with all the ancestors that he had who trusted in the Lord. And Abraham was buried by his two eldest sons, which is remarkable, because Ishmael had already been sent away by this point. Ishmael and Isaac buried Abraham alongside his wife Sarah in the cave that Abraham had bought from the Hittites, which was the very first piece of land that Abraham's descendants owned and possessed in the promised land. Abraham had spent 100 years of his life trusting in God's promise, a promise which was only ever partially fulfilled in his lifetime. Abraham didn't live long enough to see his descendants inherit the land. He didn't live long enough to see Isaac's descendants turned into a great nation. And he didn't live long enough on this earth to see God bless all the people of the earth through his greatest descendant and God's only son, Jesus. But Abraham's life was full and well-lived. And he finished well because even though he didn't live long enough to see God's promise fulfilled in every single way, which none of us will in this life, Abraham left a legacy that points beyond the grave. because his life was guided and anchored in the faith he had in God's promise. And so even though Abraham was gone, the faith that he had in God's promise had been passed on to the next generation. And just as God had blessed Abraham in every single way, God began to bless Isaac and his descendants in every single way. In today's passage, we are being reminded that Abraham lived and died trusting in God's promise. Even though he didn't see all of God's promise fulfilled in his lifetime, his legacy was not in his possessions, although he had a lot of possessions, and not in his achievements, even though he had a lot of those as well, but in the faith that he had in God's promise that pointed beyond himself. The promise that reached its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, when he willingly laid down his life for us to free us from the guilt of our sins and the fear of death. Unlike Abraham, Jesus perfectly trusted the Father's promise, even to the point of death. And at the cross, he gave up his life so that we could inherit eternal life. Not just a land, but eternal life in his kingdom. And when he rose again, he guaranteed the faith of those who trust in him would not be to waste. He guarantees eternal life for all who trust in him. So the legacy that truly lasts is not in the farm we leave behind, or in the wealth we leave behind, or even our reputation in our town. But whether we are anchoring our lives in Jesus and what he has done for us and passing that on to the next generation. In him, we have the promise and a hope that is greater than death itself. My dad was very proud of our family history, and he really wanted to pass that on to us, to his sons. But what was far more important to my father and to Charlie Kirk and should be to us is that we are passing on the good news of what God has done for us through Jesus. The wonderful news that he has freed us from the guilt of our sins through his death in our place, that he has taken away the fear of sin and death on our behalf, because that is the only legacy that is going to last forever. In verse 11 of today's passage, Isaac went to go and live in a place called Beer Lahai Roy. Why does it mention that in these verses? Well, that is the same place that Hagar fled from Sarah to. And in that place, God saw Hagar in her time of need. And so she named that place Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the God who sees me. And I don't think it's any coincidence that these verses tell us that Isaac was living in this place after his father had died. Abraham didn't hide his faith in God's promise from his sons. He lived by faith in God's promise every day, from the time that God called him to go to the time that he went to go and be with God. And after seeing how much his faith in God's promise meant to his father, Isaac wanted that same hope for himself and for the generations that would follow him. And that, no doubt, is the reason that he moved to Beer Lahai Roy, the place that is called Well of the God Who Sees Me. I read a challenging quote this week that said, it's from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that said, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. And that's the challenge of today's passage, to live in such a way that those around us see the hope we have in Jesus, not just being an academic thing, but being something that changes the way we make decisions, that affects our lives. And they see it and they want it for themselves. How is it that you want to be remembered? For your success in this life, or for your hope in Jesus? Because the only legacy that is going to last is the legacy of those who have lived a well-lived life that is anchored in the hope of God's promise, God's promised Son, Jesus. Because that's the only legacy that's going to last. And it's the only legacy that's going to mean anything on the day that Christ returns, or the day that he calls us home. Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge that we can all get caught up in our lives, get caught up in the things that we are trying to achieve on this earth, get caught up in the busyness of family life and friends, Lord. And we can lose sight of what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be in the light of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live our lives anchored in the wonderful news of salvation through your Son. We pray that this wonderful news of what you have done for us through Jesus would be so clearly evident to all around us in the way that we speak, the way that we act, and the decisions that we make. Pray that you would help us to live in the light of the hope we have in Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.